मोहम्मज्ञानशीलस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतागदानन्द श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे नम राम राम हरे हरे। ओके सो अबिल्ला 17 चैप्टर 11th वर्स प्रभुर अभिषेक तब करिला श्रीवास खटवासी प्रभु कैला ईश्वर प्रकाश श्रीवास ठाकुर देन वर्शिप लॉर्ड चैतन्य महाप्रभु बाय द प्रोसेस ऑफ अभिषेक सिटिंग ऑन अ कोर्ट द लॉर्ड एग्जिबिटेड ट्रांसेंडेंटल ऑपुलेंस। अभिषेक इज अ स्पेशल पर्सन फॉर द इंस्टॉलेशन ऑफ द डीडी। इन दिस सेरेमनी द डीडी इज बेदेड विद मिल्क एंड वॉटर एंड देन वर्शिप एंड गिवन अ चेंज ऑफ ड्रेस। This Abhishek function was especially observed at the house of Shivas. All the devotees appointed their means worship the Lord with all kinds of paraphernalia, and the Lord gave benedictions to each devotee according to his desire. Okay, next. Yeah, Sudhamai Madan.
Sathya Nityananda Swaru Teve Akamana Translation. After this function at the house of Srivasa Thakura, Nityananda Prabhu appeared, and when he met with Lord Chaitanya, he got the opportunity to see him in his six-armed form. The form of Shatbhuja, the six-armed Lord Gaurasundara, is a representation of three incarnations. The form of Sri Ramachandra is symbolized by a bow in one hand and an arrow in another. The form of Lord Sri Krishna is symbolized by a stick and a flute like those generally held by a cowherd boy. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is symbolized by a sannyasa danda and kamandalu or water pot. Srila Nityananda Prabhu was born in the village of Ekachakra in the district of Birbhum as the son of Padmavati and Hadali Pandita. In his childhood, he played like Balram. When he was growing up, a sannyasi came to the house of Hadali Pandita and begged to have the Pandita's son as his Brahmachari assistant. Hadali Pandita immediately agreed and delivered his son to him. Although the separation was greatly shocking, so much so that Hadali lost his life after the separation. Nityananda Prabhu traveled on many pilgrimages with the sannyasi. It is said that for many days he lived at Madura with him, and at that time he heard about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Navadvipa. Therefore, he came down to Bengal to see the Lord. When Lord Nityananda came to Navadvip, he was a guest at the house of Nandana Acharya. Understanding that Nityananda Prabhu had arrived, Lord Chaitanya sent his devotees to him. And thus there was a meeting between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu.
This meeting was in Nandana Acharya Bhavan in Mayapur. And yeah, so anyone has visited Nandana Acharya?
No, Prabhu. No, we did not, Prabhu.
Okay, what about Sudhamai Mataji?
No, Prabhuji.
Yeah, it is very close to the temple. It's a walking distance, in fact, right opposite to the Prabhupada Ghat. So you will come across the Nanda Acharya Bhavan. Very transcendental atmosphere. Okay, next.
One day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited to Lord Nityananda Prabhu a six-arm form wearing a conch shell, disc, club, lotus flower, bow and flute. Tabe chaturbhuja haila tina anga vakra dui haste venu bhajya bajaya duye shankha chakra. Thereafter the Lord showed him his four-armed form standing in a three-curved posture. With two hands he played upon a flute and in the other two he carried a conch shell and disc. Tabeta dvibhuja kevala vamshi vadana shyama anga pita pita vastra vrajendra nandana. Finally, the Lord showed Nityananda Prabhu his two-armed form of Krishna, the son of Maharaja Nanda, simply playing on his flute, his bluish body dressed in yellow garments. Sri Chaitanya Mangala vividly elaborates upon this description. Shall I read 16, Prabhu, or you are going to read?
Yeah, you can read till the purport comes.
Okay. Tabe Nityananda Goshanira Vyasa Pujana Nityananda Veshe Kaila Musala Dharana. Nityananda Prabhu then arranged to offer Vyasa Puja or worship of the spiritual master to Lord Gaurasundara. But Lord Chaitanya carried the plough like weapon called Musala in the ecstasy of being Nityananda Prabhu. Puppet. By the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu arranged for the Vyasa Puja of the Lord on the night of the full moon. He arranged for the Vyasa Puja or Guru Puja through the agency of Vyasadeva. Since Vyasadeva is the original Guru of all who follow the Vedic principles, worship of the spiritual master is called Vyasa Puja. Nityananda Prabhu arranged for the Vyasa Puja and Sankirtana was going on, but when he tried to put a garland on the shoulder of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw himself in Lord Chaitanya. There is no difference between the spiritual positions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu or Krishna and Balarama. All of them are but different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. During this special ceremony, all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that there is no difference between Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu.
Okay. Tabe Sachi Dekhila Rama Krishna Guri Bhai Tabe Nishtarila Prabhu Jagai Madhai. Thereafter, Mother Sachi Devi saw the brothers Krishna and Balaram in their manifestation of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. Then the Lord delivered the two brothers Jagai and Madhai. One night, Sachi Devi dreamed that the deities in her house, Krishna and Balaram, had taken the form of Chaitanya and Nityananda and were fighting one another, as children do, to eat the naivedya or offering to the deities. The next day, by the will of Lord Chaitanya, Sachidevi invited Nityananda to take prasadam at her house. Then Vishambar and Nityananda were eating together, and Sachidevi realized that they were none other than Krishna and Balaram. Seeing this, she fainted. Jagai and Madhai were two brothers born in Navadvip in a respectable Brahmana family, who later became addicted to all kinds of sinful activities. By the order of Lord Chaitanya, both Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur used to preach the cult of Krishna consciousness door to door. In the course of such preaching, they found Jagai and Madhai, two married drunken brothers, who upon seeing them began to chase them. On the next day, Madhai struck Nityananda Prabhu on the head with a piece of earthen pot, thus drawing blood. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard of this, immediately came to the spot, ready to punish both brothers. But when the all merciful Lord Gauranga saw Jagai's repentant behavior, he immediately embraced him. By seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face and embracing him, both the sinful brothers were at once cleansed. Thus they received initiation into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra from the Lord and were delivered. So this pastime is given in Chaitanya Bhagavad, both pastimes. How Sachimata, in a dream, she saw that Krishna, there, you know, there were actually, this is given in brief, but there was a fight between Krishna Balarama and Gaurnitai. So Nithai was fighting with Balaram and Krishna was fighting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I think you must have heard this pastime. Anyone has heard?
Yes, Prabhu, but not completely. I remember, but I mean, brief I remember.
Yeah, so what happened is Krishna and Balaram, so Mother Sachi offered bhoga to the deities, and then Gaur Nithai, they were there. So Nithai actually, because as we know that Nityananda Prabhu is very mischievous, like an avdhuta, and so he snatched away the offering of Krishna Balaram, and then suddenly Krishna Balaram also appeared live, you know, the deities began live, and then Balaram told Nityananda that you better give the offering to us because it belongs to Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Nityananda said that I don't have anything to do with your brother. I know my master Gaur Sundar is actually the Kali Yuga, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Kali Yuga. So then, there was a fight. They started snatching each other's hand and they started trying to snatch the prasadam, like, you know, the bhoga. So Balaram was fighting with Nityananda and then Gauranga with Krishna. So this particular dream Sachimata saw. And then she was just about to share she shared with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he just smiled. And then immediately Nityananda Prabhu came. And then then he asked for some kind of prasadam. So then Sachimata served both of them. And that's how, you know, so it was a very loving pastime, loving quarrel between Krishna Balaram and Gaur Nithai. And also kind of which displayed the supremacy of God Nitai in Kali Yuga, and the supreme position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Even they are more superior even to Krishna and Balaram. Right? Yeah. This pastime is given in Chaitanya Bhagavad. And the second pastime, obviously, everyone knows about Jagai and Madai. Now the question is that I think it was Chintamani Mataji who had asked me that Jagai and Madai, how did they get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because apparently they had offended Nityananda Prabhu. So, and at the same time, she was asking that Jagai and Madai had committed so many sinful activities, so many abominable activities. So in one sense, like, they were offending so many living entities. Then how did they get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So anyone can answer this?
Even though Nitya, they hurt Nityananda, but it's the recommendation of Nityananda Prabhu that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forgive him, like, for their offenses.
Okay.
The recommendation.
Okay. Okay.
And then...
And anything else?
And whatever offenses they have done, how they have been nullified means by chanting the holy name. I mean, without offenses, they have chanted the holy name. They say, no, the, without these 10 offenses, maybe Helanam, whatever it is.
Okay. So Prabhupada explains that actually Jagai and Madai, they never committed any offense. Their fortune was that they never committed any offense. Although they committed all the sinful activities that you can think of. They had committed sinful activities even greater than Dantvakra, Shishupal, Kumkaran and Ravana, and then Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Because as we know, they were combined incarnation of all these demons. And they were expansion, or, you know, they were actually incarnation of Jaya and Vijay. So they had committed a lot of sinful activities. In fact, the most sinful activities they had committed compared to any other incarnation. But they did not commit any offense to Vaishnavas. And that is the reason they were granted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the mercy that was. And at the same time, as we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his greatness of giving mercy, see, how can we tell him Mahavadanaya? How can we tell him? You know, when we actually can see that he gave the greatest type of mercy or the highest level of mercy to the most fallen. And so obviously, no one was more fallen than Jagai and Madai. And in order to prove that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually the supreme, most magnanimous avatar, he had to obviously give mercy to the most fallen people. So he gave mercy to Jagai and Madai, and then he established the fact that the Supreme Lord is extremely magnanimous. Okay. Now, one question is that what about when they, when Madai, you know, he hit Nityananda Prabhu with the pot. So is that an offense or not?
Offense, but forgiven by Nityananda Prabhu.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so actually, you know, in this particular circumstance, Nityananda Prabhu, first of all, it was Nityananda Prabhu's desire to give mercy to Jagai and Madai. So at that particular moment, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu already knew that they will be delivered. Now, even before this pastime happened, then Nityananda Prabhu just desired that Jagai and Madai should be given the mercy. So Mahaprabhu understood, because Nityananda desired, so it has to be fulfilled. So he already knew that they will be given the mercy. And then, because Nityananda Prabhu is also, you know, this also demonstrates actually the greatness and the supreme mercy of Lord Nityananda. So we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not approach Jagannath Madai. We wanted to give credit to Nityananda Prabhu. So then Nityananda Prabhu delivered Jagannath Madai, and this shows actually the greatness of Nityananda Prabhu. So in order to exemplify the greatness of Nityananda Prabhu, this pastime happened where, you know, Madai hit Nityananda Prabhu with a pot, and still Nityananda Prabhu was so kind to him. So it is just a glorification of Nityananda Prabhu. And at the same time, there was no intentional offense to Nityananda Prabhu. Like, first of all, Madai did not knew the position of Nityananda Prabhu, right? So it was unintentional. It was like, you know, he thought that Nityananda Prabhu is just an ordinary person. So like that he thought. And so there was no intentional offense to Nityananda Prabhu. And that's the reason, you know, we can say that and Nityananda Prabhu as the, you know, incarnation of Balaram, he is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was playing the role of the Supreme Godhead bestowing mercy on the most fallen. And in order to demonstrate the fact that Supreme Lord, even if, you, like, you know, we know that if you offend Krishna, then still he can accept you. But if you offend devotees of the Lord, then he does not forgive. So in one sense, Nityananda Prabhu is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there are certain pastimes where it reveals the merciful nature of the Lord, even if you offend the Lord, but still he will forgive you. And now, obviously, let's say even if Madai offended Nityananda Prabhu, but then it was Nityananda Prabhu's heartfelt passion on Madai. So it was his desire that, you know, even after this incident, Nityananda Prabhu, you know, he was begging, you know, he was actually begging Lord Chaitanya to give them Krishna Prem. And obviously, because the Lord already came with Sudarshan Chakra, because he offended Nityananda, right? So then the reaction was bound to happen. But then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with the Sudarshan Chakra, you know, Nityananda Prabhu first started begging Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to forgive them and give them Krishna Prem, so that it will reveal the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so because of that interference of Nityananda Prabhu, you know, and because that desire of Nityananda Prabhu was the strongest, it was his ulterior desire, it was his main desire. And obviously he did not even think anything negative about him being, you know, hit by the pot. So instead of that, you know, he was showing compassion. He had a lot of compassion for them. So in that way, you can say that the interference of Nityananda Prabhu's desire, you know, actually somehow forced Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give them the mercy. And obviously now another thing is that even if they hit Nityananda Prabhu, but then when Nityananda Prabhu was begging Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to forgive them and give them Krishna Prem, so then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he went to Madai, and then, you know, he was expressing his anger on Madai. But he told him that the only way you can be forgiven is that you have to beg forgiveness from Nityananda Prabhu. And he did that. So Madai was repentant, and then, you know, he begged forgiveness from them. And so that is, you know, so multiple factors were there which actually allowed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to bestow his mercy. And so mainly it was basically Nityananda Prabhu's intense desire to bestow compassion on the most fallen. Okay, now this repentance was always there with Madai. And so he, after this particular pastime, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced both of them, gave Krishna Prem to them, so then he also took the karmas of both Jagai and Madai, and because of that, his golden complexion converted to blackish form. Okay. And so after all this happened, and then Jagai and Madai also participated in Sankirtan pastimes of the Lord. But then Madai was always repenting that somehow he had hit Nityananda Prabhu. So then one day in isolation, Madai approached Nityananda Prabhu, and then he started offering him a lot of obeisances and prayers, glorification, and, you know, he was begging for forgiveness. So, but Nityananda Prabhu was telling him that, don't worry, you know, like, I have not felt bad, you know, and you have not done anything. So, but still he was begging Nityananda Prabhu, you know, how he can undergo some kind of atonement in order to, you know, get out of this great apradh. So then Nityananda Prabhu told him that, you know, if you really want something to be done, then what you do is you build a bathing ghat, at the Ganges, and you clean, the banks of the Ganges, so that when people come and then they take the bath, so you know because they will see that you have cleaned everything and it is so nice, so they will be very happy, they will be satisfied, and then they will give their blessings to you. So that way, so he was repentant about hitting Nityananda Prabhu, and he was also repentant about offending all other living entities, Jagai and Madai both. So then, they started cleaning the banks of the Ganges, and then they also built some kind of ghat there so that everyone can use that place. Okay. So then people, when they used to come, they were satisfied and they were very happy, and then because of they saw the transformation in Jagai and Madai's heart. So they bestowed their blessings on them, and that way they got. We won't say that they got rid of offenses, because the offenses were already taken away by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. But whatever repentance they had, that was also taken away later on. So this is all described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Okay, any comment or question on this? Yeah. So they did not commit any offense to any living entity, or you can say generally the offenses to the Vaishnavas. And that offense, even if they committed to Nityananda Prabhu, but Nityananda Prabhu's mercy and compassion was much far greater than the offense, because he was intensely begging the Lord to forgive them. Okay, next.
18. Tabe sapta prahara chila prabhu bhava vishe yada tada bhakta gane dekila visheshe. Translation. After this incident, the Lord remained in an ecstatic position for 21 hours and all the devotees saw his specific pastimes. In the deity room, there must be a bed for the deity behind his throne. This system should immediately be introduced in all our centers. It does not matter whether the bed is big or small. It should be of the size of the deity room and conveniently accommodate. But there must be at least a small bed. One day in the house of Srivasa Thakura, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down on the bed of Vishnu, and all the devotees worshipped him with Vedic mantras of Purusha Sukta, beginning with Sahasra Shisha Purusha, Saksraksha Sahasrapat. This Veda Sudhi should also be introduced, if possible, for installation of deities. While birthing the deity, all the priests and the devotees must chant this Purusha Sukta and offer the appropriate paraphernalia for worshipping the deity, such as flowers, fruits, incense, aradhi paraphernalia, naivedya, vastra, and ornaments. All the devotees worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way, and the Lord remained in ecstasy for 7 praharas, or 21 hours. He took this opportunity to show the devotees that he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the source of all other incarnations, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu Matra Sarvam Pravartade. All the different forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or Vishnu Tattva emanate from the body of Lord Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exposed all the private desires of the devotees, and thus all of them become fully confident that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some devotees call this exhibition of ecstasy by the Lord Sada Prahiriya Bhava, or the ecstasy of 21 hours, and others call it Maha Bhava Prakasha or Maha Prakasha. There is a description of this Sada Prahariya Bhava in the Chaitanya Bhagavata Madhya Kanda, Chapter 9, which mentions that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed a maid servant named Dukhi with the name Sukhi. He called for Kalavesa Sridhara and showed him his Mahaprakasha. Then he called for Murari Gupta and showed him his feature as Lord Ramachandra. He offered his blessing to Haridas Thakura, and at this time he also asked Advaita Prabhu to explain the Bhagavad Gita as it is, Gidara Satyapada, and showed a special favor to Mukunda.
This pastime he also given in Chaitanya Bhagavad. So everyone is aware of these persons?
Kolavecha Sridhara, we know.
Huh?
Kolavecha Sridhara past time we know, but Dukhi and name Sukhi heard but forgot, I think.
Yeah, that also. Mahaprakash Leela, this is called Mahaprakash Leela. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was fulfilling the desire of the devotees, and he was also showing his form, which is in accordance with the devotees' desire. So in the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that the Lord appears in the form which the devotee is always longing for to see. So the Lord is actually manifested in different forms to different devotees. Like we know, some are Krishna Bhaktas, some are Ram Bhaktas, some are Vaikuntha Bhaktas, Vishnu Bhaktas. So accordingly, the Lord will actually display different forms. Even amongst Krishna Bhaktas also, we know that there is a variety. Some are Dwarkadish, worshippers of Dwarkadish Krishna, some are Mathuradish Krishna, and some are Vraj Krishna, like that. So this pastime was going on in the Mahaprakash Leela. He wanted to fulfill the desire of all the devotees, and he wanted to make them happy. Yeah, so this maid servant, you know, like was named Dukhi, and then obviously when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that, actually I think, you know, the service of this Dukhi was that she was during this Mahaprakash Leela, because there was an Abhishek which was performed, so she was getting the Ganges water. Like, it was her major service to get the Ganges water every day. So she was doing some menial service, and then, well, I don't know if this Dukhi was a male or a female. I forgot that. But, so the main service was to get Ganges water, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed that. So he asked, what is the name? He asked Srivastakur, what is the name of your maid servant? And he said, this is Dukhi. And then immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that from this day on, from now onwards, no one should call, you know, Dukhi, but instead should call Sukhi. Because whoever is performing devotional service to the Lord, they are all happy. They are never sad. So that's how he changed the name to Sukhi. Yeah, so he was reciprocating with all the devotees according to their desires. Okay. Next.
19. Varaha Avesha Haila Murari Bhavane Tandra Skande Chadi Prabhu Nachila Angane Angane. One day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt the ecstasy of the boar incarnation and grew up on the shoulders of Murari Gupta. Thus they both danced in Murari Gupta's courtyard. But one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to cry out, Sukara, Sukara. Thus crying out for the boar incarnation of the Lord, he assumed his form as the boar incarnation and got up on the shoulders of Murari Gupta. He carried a small gadu, a small water pot with a nozzle, and thus he symbolically picked up the earth from the depths of the ocean, for this is the pastime of Lord Varaha.
Yeah, so he now, Krishna's Gaurav Goswami, in this last chapter, he is giving a synopsis of the Adi Leela. I mean, the earlier pastimes of the Lord. Because, you know, he, Vrindavan Thakur has elaborated all these pastimes, so he's just giving a synopsis of all these. It's a recap, you know, because he wants to start the later pastimes of the Lord, in the Madhya Leela and the Antya Leela.
Sabe
Suklam Barera Kaila Tandula Bhakshana Hare Nama Slukera Kaila Artha Vivarana. After this incident, the Lord ate raw rice given by Suklam Brahmachari and explained very elaborately the import of the Hare Nama Sloka mentioned in the Brihan Naravya Purana. Suklam Brahmachari resided in Navadvip on the bank of the Ganges. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstasy, he approached the Lord with a begging bag containing rice. The Lord was so pleased with his devotee that he immediately snatched the bag and began to eat the raw rice. No one forbade him, and thus he finished the entire supply of rice. This pastime is also given in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Next.
हरिर्नाम हरिर्नाम एव केवलं कलो नास्तेव 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 गतिर् अन्यथा. In this age of Kali, there is no other means, no other means, no other means for self-realization than chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name of Lord Hari. 22. Kali Kali Nama Rupe Krishna Avatara Nama Haide Haya Sarva Jagat Nistara. In this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with Lord directly. Anyone who do this is certainly delivered. 23.
Okay, now, why do we have to chant the holy name constantly again and again?
Again and again means because we cannot do Shuddhanam. That's why.
Yeah. Yes. So we have to chant again and again because we chant with offenses. So whoever is chanting with offenses, they are recommended to chant the holy name continuously, constantly. And that's why we have, you know, fixed rounds of chanting every day. But more than just chanting it to get rid of the offenses, obviously, you know, the holy name also is not different from Lord the Lord. So, if you chant without offenses and if you get experience of Krishna through the holy name, then obviously, then also you cannot stop chanting the holy name. So, then also you continuously chant the holy name. You know, right? So, both ways you can say that in the sadhaka stage, because we are filled with offenses, that's why we have to chant continuously. So, it basically means that we have to do certain things even if the Lord does not manifest to us, but after the manifestation also, we keep continuously chanting the holy name because that is the sadhya also. Like we know that chanting the holy name is the sadhana, but it is also the sadhya, the final goal. Okay, and this is what the Vrajvasi also do all the time. They all keep chanting the holy name of the Lord throughout the day, throughout the night, because that's how they can associate with the Lord intimately. Okay, and when Krishna is not there with them, so they associate with the Lord through his holy name, and that's why you see in the background they are always chanting the holy name. Now I remember one question Ujjwala Mataji had asked about that someone had asked that this what about, you know, we say that Vrajvasis they are never separated from Krishna. So then, you know, what is the difference between this, you know, when Krishna leaves Vraj, so how do they feel the separation? Because it is mentioned that they are always with the Lord.
Hare Krishna.
So actually this is Hare Krishna Dhanottaram Mataji.
Dhanottaram.
You have just entered the right time.
Oh, thank you.
I'm just explaining about Krishna's separation that the Vrajvasis are feeling. How they feel the separation, because technically speaking, Krishna is never separated from them. So this phenomena is a bit interesting phenomena. And this is how the Acharyas, they have explained this phenomena. So first of all, the idea of separation is that you know, the separation is there because, as we know, so what is the reason that Krishna makes the devotees feel separation from him, or he actually leaves them? What is the reason?
To increase more love for him.
Yeah, to increase intensity of love for him. So yes, that intensity will keep increasing, you know, over a period of time. That's the reason. In the Lord's pastimes, there is union and separation both. So there is Sambhog and there is Vipralamba both in his pastimes. Because if one is missing, then the pastimes will be incomplete. So both things should be there. Sambhog and Vipralamba both. Okay, now, so the question is that, even if the Lord is leaving the devotees and increasing the separation, But then, how are they feeling the separation? Because the Lord is always with them. And it is mentioned by the Acharyas that there is no difference between Krishna's prakat and aprakat manifestation for the pure devotees of the Lord. So basically it means that, see, prakat and aprakat, this is applicable only for sadhakas. Because for them, Krishna will become aprakat. Because they cannot see him with the material eyes. So for the sadhakas, the Lord will not manifest before their eyes. Okay, but for pure devotees, the Lord is always manifested. So there is no question of aprakat for them. So aprakat is only, actually this particular distinguished or discrimination is applicable only for sadhakas. Prakat, aprakat. Right? But for the pure devotees, for the Vrajvasis, they always see the Lord directly. In fact, it is mentioned by the Acharyas that when the Lord is separated from the Vrajvasis, the Lord appears in the form of bhava expansion in the heart of the Vrajvasis. Now, this bhava expansion is completely non-different from his personal presence. Okay. So how does this phenomenon work? So see, first of all, then how, you know, if we say that Krishna is always with them, then how does that increase their separation for him, their intensity of love for him? How does that increase? Because they are always seeing the Lord. Even in the bhava expansion, they are always with the Lord. So the Acharyas, you know, they have explained that actually the separation is in the beginning stage. So like, you know, when Krishna leaves Vrindavan for Mathura, and then till the time he sends Uddhava back to Vraj, and then Uddhava is the one who actually reminds the gopis and the Vrajvasis that Krishna has not gone anywhere else. He is right there in your heart. You just have to meditate, or you just have to... So basically, see, in the Bhagavatam, when we read the slokas, when we understand the, you know, teaching of Uddhava, we feel that he is talking about the super soul expansion, the Paramatma within the heart. But he is actually not talking about the Paramatma, because the gopis, they can actually decode and they can understand the meaning of that, and they do understand that actually he's talking about Krishna's manifestation in the heart in the form of bhava expansion. So what he does is he is actually reminding them that actually Krishna has never gone out of Vrindavan. He is actually in your heart. So try to chant the glories of the Lord, and then you will, you know, you will see him face to face directly. There is no question of separation. So that's what Uddhava comes to remind them about that. So till that point, they have forgotten about their association with Krishna in the form of bhava expansion with the Lord. Okay, so they have forgotten this, and that is the reason they feel intense separation. And in that separation, the love increases a lot. So then, obviously, the end of separation is sambhog. And then Uddhava comes, and then he reminds the Vrajvasis that you are supposed to constantly meditate on the Lord, constantly think, chant his name, you know, constantly think of his pastimes and all that. Remember, chant, think, you know, all these things. So then after that, then they start perceiving the Lord's presence directly. Okay, so the Acharyas, they mentioned that only till this point of time they are experiencing separation, but after that they are always with Krishna. Okay, because of their intense loving emotions, you know, they actually take shelter of their whatever Uddhava has, you know, taught them about their association with Krishna. Because in that intense loving emotions, one is always remembering the Lord. You know, obviously, you know, when you are separated from someone, you can realize the importance of that person. And you also constantly think about, because when you love someone a lot, then obviously you want to keep thinking about that person again and again, completely absorbed in that. So that particular stage happens when Uddhav comes, and then they are constantly associating with the Lord. So after that, you know, Krishna is always manifested in their heart. And then there is no question of any separation. So this is what the Acharya they explained of this. Okay, is that clear?
Okay. Prabhuji, so Mr. Krishna never left Vrindavan, no?
Yeah, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan.
Then Krishna went with Akrura. He was the form of Vishnu, or what, Prabhuji? Means one Mataji told me that in some lecture, she heard that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, that we know. But the
he never leaves in the one, and so we know that, you know, the form that went with Akrura was Mathura Dish, Varka Dish Krishna, and the Shyam Sundar form was, it became aprakat. So aprakat for outsiders or non-devotees, or those who are not completely perfected, for them he became aprakat. So in Vraj, those who are staying in Vraj, they couldn't, like those who are not completely purified, they couldn't see the Lord. And those who are Nitya Siddhas and those who are completely purified, they could actually also see the Lord after Uddhava comes and gives them that this particular knowledge about the Bhava expansion of the Lord, which is present. So then they are always associating with the Lord directly. Now, this is obviously the Lord's pastime, because one can ask the question that from the time Krishna leaves until the time Uddhava is coming, how can they forget the Lord, or how can they not associate with the Lord? So the, you know, the answer is also that Krishna is willing, you know, he wants them to extract their love. So he will, it is his arrangement only that he will not allow himself to appear, so that, you know, the intensity of their love will increase to the greatest extent. And then finally they will associate with him. Okay. This is one thing. Second thing is also that the Vrajvasis, you know, they, even if they associate with the Lord in his bhava expansion, but the problem is what happens is, you know, they will forget. They will forget that. So as if they are seeing a dream. So it's a temporary experience that they feel, you know. Like for example, even if they are associating with the Lord in the bhava expansion, but then, let's say for example, you know, one day they are experiencing association of Krishna, but the next day again they are in the feeling of separation. So that it is explained by the acharyas that, you know, they, what happens is, it is similar to that of seeing a dream. So they feel that this is actually, we were with Krishna, but that was a, you know, dream only. And now he is already gone. So sometimes what happens, the separation feeling again comes. And obviously that is the desire of the Lord. So this pastime keeps happening again and again. And the Vaidvasi, they feel that they are seeing a dream. Like you know, we're talking about, one time we're talking about the demons, they enter in the spiritual world. The demons entering the spiritual world, or Krishna is killing Kamsa in the spiritual world. So what happens, even in the spiritual world, Krishna will leave Vrindavan and then he goes to Mathura to kill Kamsa. And then he comes back. Okay, but what is the difference in Bhauma Vrindavan and Golok Vrindavan? The difference is that he will leave Vrindavan just for a few, like you can say one day. Like, you know, he will just go for one day, kill Kamsa, and then he'll again return the next day. But in Bhauma Vrindavan, the pastime that happens is that Krishna will actually, he will kill Kamsa and then he stays for Mathura and Dwarka. Right? He stays there forever. So, so now the, you know, the question is, this particular pastime that happens in Golok Vrindavan, of killing Kamsa, or the demons also entering Goloka. So this particular pastime keeps repeating itself. So now you will say that, well, he already killed Kamsa, so then where is the question of going back and killing Kamsa again? But the acharyas explain that Krishna, he temporarily, momentarily he leaves Raj just to increase the separation of his or to create some kind of excitement in the Leela. So he will leave and then he will again return soon. And what happens? The Vrajvasis, they forget that Krishna had gone to Mathura and he has returned back. They forget about it. So they don't, actually they don't, they are not aware that Krishna went and he returned back and he killed Kamsa. So they, each time this happens continuously, each time the Vrajvasis will forget this pastime or this particular Leela, and then Krishna will again go and he will kill the demons and, you know, like that. So this also keeps repeating in the spiritual world. And so similarly in the home of Vrindavan also, the Lord, you know, if he wants, then he will, you know, give the experience of separation to the devotees by making them feel that they were actually having, you know, they were seeing some kind of dream instead of really experiencing the pastimes with the Lord. So actually that is a reality. It's a reality that they associate with the Lord directly. But the problem is they, because of the Lord's desire, they forget that particular thing and they think that it's a dream. But actually it is a reality. But that this is how the Lord will actually create Yogmaya, you know, illusion for the Vrajvasis. So that their love will increase and, you know, that some kind of excitement, taste, flavor will be there in the Leela also. So it's a, you know, you can say that Krishna's pastimes are all drama. He's just doing, orchestrating, you know, dramatic performances and thereby, you know, increasing the love of the Vrajvasis. So there is a lot of fun in his Leelas. It's very mysterious and very surprising Leelas. Okay, so any comment on this, any question?
Yes, Prabhuji, one doubt, Prabhuji. So, does Prabhu, did Prabhupada wrote anywhere that the Gita which is spoken by Krishna is the form of Vishnu? That's why they call the Vishnu is the original, is the source of all avatars. So, is that true?
What?
As we know that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So, when Krishna went to Mathura, and then Dwarka, and then to Kurukshetra, and then he spoke Gita to Arjuna. So, any some place Prabhupada wrote that Krishna was Vishnu?
Krishna was Vishnu means?
Form of Vishnu, jaise Vishnu ke avatar hote hain, so Krishna is the form of Vishnu, avatar of Vishnu.
Where did Prabhupada, how can he write like that? That is not possible.
No, I don't know. Yeah, that Mataji told me that someone told her that it is written in Bhagavatam. That's why I am asking.
No. See, Bhagavatam means you have to, there are certain statements in the Bhagavatam, like, you know, will make you feel that the Lord is, it all depends on how they translate and it all depends on how they explain the verses. So Acharyas, they have already given their, you know, so many commentaries they have given on this. And we know that in the earlier cantos, in the starting beginning cantos, the incarnation of the Lord, different incarnations.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, it is mentioned that Pritishamsa Kalapumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Okay, so this becomes the Paribha Sutra. Paribha Sutra means the governing principle for the entire text. Which means that right from the beginning to the end, this Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam theme has to be there. So it should dominate all other things. So this is what the Acharyas, they have given elaborate commentaries on this particular verse. And they have proven that how Krishna is actually the incarnation of, all the incarnations, they come from Krishna.
Yes.
Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam.
Okay.
Prabhu, maybe what Mataji is asking is, they say that when Dwarkadish Krishna and Madhura Krishna, they say he is not Golok Krishna, he is Vasudeva Krishna, and sometimes we discuss that for killing of demons and all, the Vishnu form, instead of Vishnu, Krishna has directly come. The Vishnu Amsa also merges with Vasudeva Krishna and performs all the Leelas. Something like that we discuss, no?
Yeah. Yeah, so when Krishna is appearing, all the incarnation also merge into Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everything merges into Krishna means, you know, is Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyum, Anirudh, then Lakshmi Narayan, and that Narayan form, and Rama form, Narasimha form, Mara form, all these are always inside the Lord. So it is mentioned by the Acharya that Krishna does not kill any demon in Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
It is performed by the expansion of Krishna. So that is actually done by the Vasudeva expansion of the Lord. Vasudeva Sankarshan, Pradyumanayud. So these are the four Vishnu Tattvas, and they are present in Mathura and Dwarka. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay. They are Vishnu Tattva only. It's like that.
See, one more thing you have to understand. Okay, the Acharyas have said, okay, that, you know, the Krishna is only playing, and he does not interfere with the, you know, fighting and all that. But technically speaking also, if you see, the Acharyas also say, like Rupa Goswami says in Vatsyasamrita Sindhu, that when Krishna kills someone, then, you know, that particular person or he's a demon, they attain liberation. So what is the meaning of that? When Vishnu does that, there is no guarantee that the demon might attain liberation. And generally, the demon will be promoted to some higher destination. But when Krishna will kill a demon, it is 100% sure that that demon will attain liberation.
Liberation.
So then what is the meaning of that? So we are generally basically talking about Krishna in his original form. In the Shyam Sundar form as well as Mathura and Dwarka form. Okay. So because his compassion is greater than all the incarnations. Much greater. Right? And that's the reason we were just discussing about the compassion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. And that's the reason they are superior to even Krishna's incarnation, because their compassion exceeds even Krishna's compassion. So it is mentioned that Krishna will give liberation. So that generally the liberation is Sayuja Mukti to the demons. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will kill the demoniac tendency, he does not kill anyone in Kali Yuga. He kills the demoniac tendency. And when he does that, or you know, he will award Prema. He awards Prema. He does not award Sayuja Mukti. He will directly award Prema. Krishna Prem. Okay. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's magnanimity is much greater than Krishna's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so any other question?
No.
So is that clear about the separation thing?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. In fact, actually, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, it was spoken in Kurukshetra. But Acharyas, they say that Krishna was remembering Vraj Leela at the time of Kurukshetra when he was imparting knowledge to Arjuna. So, you know, certain verses, the Acharyas say that he was actually remembering the gopis. Like, you know, Pandit Rasama Darshina. That, you know, a sage with equal vision will see everyone equally, right? So actually at that point of time, Krishna is actually remembering the gopis because he is always seeing the gopis everywhere. So he speaks that verse like that. That's how the Acharya, they say. And then, this Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mahamekam Saram Vraja. So that Vraja, you know, does not actually refer to Vrindavan Bhumi. But the Acharya, they explain like that. That Mahamekam Saram Vraja, which means that take shelter of me in the form of Shyam Sundar Krishna of Vraj. Like that. Okay. So, this is how the Acharyas explain. So, this, you know, the Krishna of Mathura Dwarka, and then, you know, he goes to Hastinapur, Kurukshetra, all these places, they expand. So basically, Jiva Goswami explains that, wherever places the Lord has visited in his Leela. So these are also present in the spiritual world. They are expansions of Mathura and Dwarka. wherever the Lord goes, for example, Hastinapur or Kurukshetra or any other place, then Mithila, you know, or some other place, there are expansions of these ultimate, you know, the ultimate abodes of the Lord, which is Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka. Okay. So next verse.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, 23rd, if you can read, Mataji.
Okay, who have to read, Prabhuji? Bali.
Yeah, Vinita the Mataji, you can read.
Okay, 23rd, no, Prabhuji?
दाडयलागि हरे रामा उक्ति तिन्न वार जर लोके बुझाइते पुनः एव कार. This verse repeats the word eva certainly three times for emphasis, and it also three times repeats hare nama, the holy name of the Lord, just to make common people understand. To emphasize something to an ordinary person, one may repeat it three times, just as one might say, you must do this, you must do this, you must do this. Thus, the Jehan Brahmanadya Purana repeatedly emphasizes the chanting of the holy name so that people may take it seriously and thus free themselves from the clutches of the Maya. It is our practical experience in the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world that many millions of people are actually coming to spiritual stage of life simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra regularly according to the prescribed principles. Therefore, our request to all our students in that they daily chant at least 16 rounds of their Hare Nam Mahamantra offenselessly following the regulated principles, thus their success will be assured without a doubt.
Yeah, so basically, you know, we have this Dharam, Arth, Kam, Moksha, and three things are actually not essential, Dharam, Arth, Kamush, or you can say that they should ultimately lead to moksha. Moksha can also obviously mean going back to God. So three times is emphasized so that people don't get deviated by the so-called lower dharmas or by kam or by earth like that. Okay, next. So it is my turn, or whose turn it is?
May I continue?
Who read before Vinita Mataji?
Sudhamay Mataji.
Vidwala Mataji, you read?
Sudhamay Mataji.
Huh? Sudhamay Mataji. Sudhamay Mataji. Okay, Mataji. Now you can read, Mataji.
Okay, 24th. Kevala Shabde Punarapi Nishchaya Karana Gnana Yoga Tapa Karma Adi Nivarana. The use of the word Kevala only prohibits all other processes such as the cultivation of knowledge, practice of mystic yoga, or performance of austerities and fruitive activities. Our Krishna consciousness movement stresses the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra only, whereas those who do not know the secret of the success for this age of Kali unnecessarily indulge in the cultivation of knowledge, the practice of mystic yoga, or the performance of fruitive activities or useless austerities. They are simply wasting their time and misleading their followers. When we point this out very plainly to an audience, members of opposing groups become angry at us. But according to the injunctions of the Shastras, we cannot make compromises with these so-called jnanis, yogis, karmis and tapasvis. When they say they are as good as we are, we must say that only we are good and that they are not good. This is not our obstinacy. It is the injunction of the Shastras. We must not deviate from the injunctions of the Shastras. This is confirmed in the next verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yeah, so you can also say that the three times usage of word is also for to avoid, reject karma, jnana and dhyana and only bhakti, for bhakti. Okay, next. Anyata ye manitara nahi ka nisara nahi 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 etina evakara. This verse clearly states that anyone who accepts any other path cannot be delivered. This is the reason for the triple repetition, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else, which emphasizes the real process of self-realization.
Chant the holy name always, one should be humbler than the great grass in the street and devoid of all desire for personal honor, but one should offer others all respectful obeisances. Tarusama Sahisnuta Vaishnava Karibe Vatsana Tadena Karke Kichuna Balibe. A devotee engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord should practice forbearance like that of a tree. Even if rebuked or chastised, he should not say anything to others to retaliate. Once again. भगत
तू खाने गए अभी
ओके या सो दिस इज सो यू नो वी ऑल नो दैट इट इज एक्सट्रीमली डिफिकल्ट टू डू इट टेक्स लाइफ टाइम्स नेक्स्ट कटिले तारु ये ना किचु ना बोलाया सुकाये मारे तब जल नामा गाया फॉर इवन इफ वन कट्स अ ट्री इट नेवर प्रोटेस्ट Anyone, if it is drying up and dying, it does not ask anyone for water. This practice of forbearance, Taro Riva Sahishnuma, is very difficult. But when one actually engages in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the quality of forbearance automatically develops. A person advanced in spiritual consciousness in the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra need not practice to develop it separately. For a devotee develops all good qualities simply by chanting Hare Krishna mantra regularly. Now, So does this happen automatically? What is the experience of devotees on this? Does it happen automatically? For which devotee this happens automatically? None of us. I think we are quite honest in this, right? Okay, so then why Prabhupada is saying this automatically happens? I have explained this earlier. You know, what is the context of the meaning here of automatically happening? Huh?
So the process will be one day definitely.
Sorry?
So the process one day definitely, like.
No, Mataji, I'm not able to hear clearly.
Yeah, your voice is echoing.
Prabhupada says to me one time, like, we cannot call a person dirty when he is under shower. Like, because we have started chanting the holy names and started practicing Krishna consciousness, definitely. One day we'll acquire all the good qualities. It may not be automatically, but through the process.
Okay. So what is happening? You know, why this is not happening quickly?
Because we are not chanting the pure name, Suddhanam.
Right, yeah. So we are committing offenses. And that because of that offenses, you know, we have to. It takes a long time. And because it will take a long time, we feel that it is not happening automatically. Okay. And so the idea is, see, everything, whatever you're talking about in spiritual life, or whatever the results that you get in spiritual life, whatever the Shastra is glorifying, it might seem exaggerated, but actually it is not. And if you remember in our Nectar Devotion class, in one particular chapter, Prabhupada writes this point, you know, when he's talking about the special mercy of Krishna and the devotee. So then Prabhupada writes that this special mercy is not available to everyone. It's not general. It is, you know, it's very special. And that's the reason not everyone gets it. So Prabhupada makes a comment like that. So we can actually understand that when we chant the holy name purely, then, see, that's the reason I explained in the beginning that you don't even have to chant the holy name if you chant purely. And so, you know, the idea of all the devotees who, you know, keep chanting or who chant, who have a penchant for chanting 64 rounds or more than that. And, you know, because maybe they have their own personal taste or attachment, you know, not taste, but let's say if they have attachment to chant more number of rounds, the problem is that it is easier to chant the holy name because you are in the comfort zone. Now, for some devotees, it is difficult. It's an austerity for them to chant more than 16 rounds. And for some devotees, it's a boon, it's a benediction to chant more than 16 rounds because they like it. Because most of us are actually bhajnanandis, or you can say that we are self-centered people. You know, before we came to Krishna consciousness, we are always self-centered. We would like to be in the comfort zone. So it's an easy escape, or it's an easy thing to say that, well, you know, I have to chant my rounds. I chant every day so many number of rounds. But to take that responsibility, you know, it means that, you know, you unnecessarily you are taking anxiety, you are taking botheration. And then who wants that in Kali Yuga? Everyone wants to escape from that. So when we do preaching or when we take some kind of responsibility, then we are accepting some kind of discomfort and anxiety for the service of Guru and Krishna. Okay, but when we are only chanting the holy name, then we are trying to escape from the responsibility, nothing else. So, first of all, if we get the order or to chant more rounds from the Guru, then it's a different thing. You know, specifically if the Guru says that, because, and I think, you know, the Guru will say because of two reasons. One is because if you are physically not able to do anything, if you are unable to do any kind of service, okay. And second thing is, if you have genuine taste for the holy name, where the holy name is revealing to you, you know, very quickly, everything. So, like, you know, Naam, Roop, Guna, Leela, you know, the holy name is revealing to you everything. And the holy name or the, you know, or the Guru will feel that you are supposed to chant the whole day because that's your main service. Then he will tell you, okay, you chant more rounds and you sit and you become a Padmanandi. Okay, but in general, now obviously it's a tough position also. We cannot artificially imitate the great Vaishnavas, but to chant every day, you know, it's not for everyone. And only for those who have actually reach advanced stages of bhakti, or, you know, the Lord is revealing to them when they are chanting the holy name. The Lord is actually revealing to them the Naam, Roop, Guna, Leela. Then for them, you know, it is essential, or it is the order of the Lord basically. So and that is the reason we have to chant the holy name again and again, because we are committing offenses. Now, if we don't commit offense, then even one syllable of the holy name can take us back to Godhead. So there is no question of chanting a minimum number of rounds. In fact, as you know, we were discussing earlier, once you get taste for the holy name, you always keep chanting the holy name. And it's not necessary that you have to chant externally. You can also chant in the mind. There are three types of japa. Right? We know that. So, the idea is that automatically will happen when we get rid of the offenses, when we work on the offenses. So, nothing happens automatically, but the process, if you follow the process, what is prescribed and given by the Acharya, then automatically it will take away all these things. So, see, actually, it is also mentioned that all the good qualities of the demigods, they reside, you know, they develop in the devotees when they progress in devotional service. But one thing you must have realized and recognized, that it is not that it, you know, that also happens automatically. Did you ever notice? It's not that nothing, you know, see, nothing in spiritual life happens automatically. You have to put endeavor for everything. Like, even if you want to develop the good qualities of forbearance or, you know, some really sattvic qualities, you have to practice that. So, practice means, you know, you have to develop that quality. You have to be really cautious of what you are doing. You have to become very alert in Krishna consciousness. If you don't become alert, then you cannot develop these qualities. So, what is the meaning of that? When you go through the process itself will give you a lot of challenges and a lot of opportunities to make you humble, a lot of opportunities to decrease your anger or lust or envy or pride, whatever it is. The process will give you that. It will arrange for you. So that is the meaning of automatically. It does not mean that you have to go and join a personality development course so that you can cultivate all these things, you know, quickly. So are you getting the point? Like Krishna will give you a lot of tests. The Lord will send a lot of tests to you and you have to pass through the test. So passing the test means you have to test your knowledge. You have to test your, you have to test whatever you are doing. You have to test it. And so it's going to be a struggle. In the beginning, from Shraddha to Anartha Nivritti, it's going to be a struggle. But as you cross Anartha Nivritti, then Ruchi Asakti, it becomes quite easier to pass the challenge, you know, especially to develop these qualities. Because initially we are very much attached to our habits, like at the stage of Shraddha, when we begin Krishna consciousness, we are attached to our, we think that we are the controllers, or we think that whatever we desire, that is the best thing. But then, you know, Krishna frustrates the desires also many times. And then through that experience, we ultimately realize that we are not the controller and whatever the Lord arranges, desires, we should accept it. So although there is a reluctance in the heart to accept the Lord's plan, but still we accept it. And so initially it can be a great struggle, but then once we are in the process, in the, you know, burning process, then that will gradually make us, that will gradually ease the process, in the sense that you will, it will be easier for you to accept Krishna's plan. The more you advance, the more it will be easier for you to accept the Lord's plan, because you'll have a lot of faith in the Lord, and you have also personally experienced the arrangement by the Lord. Okay, so this is something that it's a dynamic reciprocation from the Lord, and it's an arrangement from the Lord. So nothing is happening automatically. Or in all the situations, you have to test your forbearance, you have to test your qualities, and you have to check how much, you know, we are improving. So right from the beginning, you started Krishna consciousness, you joined, and then there has to be transformation. If transformation is happening, it means that you are advancing, or you can, you know, like you, the process is working automatically. It is the qualities are developing automatically. Means you don't focus specially on developing these qualities. That is the meaning, right? So it is not that, you know, you are doing your sadhana, but you also feel that, well, I don't have certain qualities of a devotee. So I should go, you know, outside, and then I should try to learn these qualities, and I should learn how to develop these qualities. So that is not, you know, it's not required, because the process itself automatically will make us, or you know, it will give us a lot of opportunities to purify our bad habits and, you know, other bad qualities. So I hope you are able to understand what I'm saying. Okay. See, even when you chant the name purely, that time also, we say that, okay, it is working automatically, but a devotee will never ask the Lord to give him everything like a, you know, spoon-feeding thing. The devotee will always wants to serve the Lord. So the devotee will never demand the Lord that, you know, please make everything for me, like, you know, everything is available automatically. the devotee obviously would like to struggle or would like to do service for the Lord. So that shows the love of the devotee for the Lord. So that process of free will and putting effort is always there. That never goes away. Whether you are at the sadhaka stage or a perfected stage, that will always be there. So we cannot see, everyone wants shortcut. Everyone, you know, all the we all want shortcut because that is how we are there, you know, in the material world we are trained like that. But actually there is no shortcut in the material world nor in the spiritual world. We have to put efforts for everything. Okay. So is this clear?
Yes, Ramji.
Okay. Vinita Mataji, Sudamai Mataji.
Yes, Ramji.
Vinita Mataji?
Yes, Ramji.
Okay.
Yes,
are you hearing?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, next.
Sudhamai Madhavi. 29. Emata Vaishnava Kare Kichuna Makipa Ayachida Vritti Kimba Akafala Kaiba. Thus a Vaishnava should not ask anything from anyone else. If someone gives him something without being asked, he should accept it. But if nothing comes, a Vaishnava should be satisfied to eat whatever vegetables and fruits are easily available. Sadanama laiba yata lapeda sandosha ite achara kare bhakti dharma kosha. One should strictly follow the principles of the holy name. And one should be satisfied with whatever he gets easily. Such devotional behavior solidly maintains one's devotional service. 31. Chena Sarupora Sahitana Amani Namanatena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Translation. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree and does not expect a personal honor, it is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. Proper. The grass is specifically mentioned in this verse. It's a grammar protest. This example indicates that a Christian master or leader should not be proud of his position. Being always humbler than an ordinary common man, he should go on preaching the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra.
Yeah. So without preaching, you will not be able to test your forbearance. That is for sure. So those who are just chanting the holy name, you know, they have to test their effect of the holy name also. Whether whatever extra rounds they are chanting, is it really effect? Like, is it giving some effect or not? So for that, we have to test it. And if you don't, if you just keep chanting the holy name without testing it, without practically applying, then how will you know how much transformation is taking place? So preaching is actually one of the best way to measure that thing. And it's also the most fastest way to develop these qualities, because the more you preach, the more you will attain forbearance quickly. That everyone can experience. For book distribution, you know, people, like, you'll have to sell books to so many people, and obviously some will be favorable and most of them will not be favorable. So, and then some of them will pass comments, they will laugh, they will criticize, they'll make fun. And so all these things, insults and everything, we have to tolerate. So the preaching thing will make us, it will bestow all these qualities very quickly. Okay, any comment? Yeah, okay. Vinita Mataji.
Udhava Bahu Kari Kaho Shunna Sarva Loka Nama Sutre Ganthi Para Kante E Shloka. Raising my hands, I declare, everyone please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. When chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in the beginning, one may commit many offenses which are called Nama Bhasa and Nama Pratha. In this stage, there is no possibility of achieving perfect love of Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Therefore, one must chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra according to the principles of the above verse, Trinadapi Sanichena Tarurapi Sahishnuna. One should note in this connection that chanting involves the activities of the upper and lower lips as well as the tongue. All three must be engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The words Hare Krishna should be very distinctly pronounced and heard. Sometimes one mechanically produces a hissing sound instead of chanting. With the proper pronunciation, with the help of the lips and tongue, chanting is very simple, but one must practice seriously. Therefore, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, advises everyone to keep this verse always stung about his neck.
So, Trina Abhi Sunichena is actually the key to unravel the mysteries of the Holy Name. Okay, next.
प्रभु आज्ञाया करे श्लोका चरण अवश्य पैबे तबे श्री कृष्ण चरण. One must strictly follow the principles given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this verse. If one simply follows in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and the Goswamis, certainly he will achieve the ultimate goal of life, the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. तबे प्रभु श्रीवासेरा गृहे निरंतरा रात्रि संकीर्तन कैला एक संवत्सर. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regularly led congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in the house of Srivasa Thakura every night for one full year. Kapata kapata diya kirtana kare parama aveshe pashandi hasite aise na paya praveshe. This ecstatic chanting was performed with the doors closed so that non-believers who came to make fun could not gain entrance. Purport. Chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is open to everyone, but sometimes non-believers come to disturb the ceremony of chanting. It is indicated here in the circumstances, the temple door should be closed. Only bona fide chanters should be admitted. Others should not. But when there is large-scale congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we keep our temples open for everyone to join. And by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this policy has given good results.
So this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, as you know, it's a Mahamantra, and that's why everyone can chant this Mahamantra. So it is open to everyone. But when people start offending, then we have to be careful, because one of the offenses to the Holy Name is we should not give it to the people who are not faithful. Okay, next. Kirtana suni bahire tara jwali pudhi mare divasere dukha dite mana yukti kare. Thus the non-believers almost burned to ashes and died out of envy. To retaliate, they planned various ways to give trouble to Srivas Thakur. Ekal dina vipranama gopala chapala pasandi pradana se durmukha vachala bhavani pujara sabha samadri lana. Ratra Shiva Sera Dware Stana Lepana. One night while Kirtan was going on inside Shiva Thakur's house, a Brahmana named Gopal Chapal, the chief of the non-believers, was talkative and very rough in his speech, placed all the paraphernalia for worshipping the goddess Durga outside Shiva Thakur's door. This Brahmana, Gopal Chapala, wanted to defame Shiva Thakur by proving that he was actually a Shakta, a worshipper of Bhavani, the goddess of Durga, but was externally posing as a Vaishnava. In Bengal, there is perpetual competition between the devotees of Goddess Kali and the devotees of Lord Krishna. Generally, Bengalis, especially those who are meat eaters and drunkards, are very much attached to worshipping the goddess Durga, Kali, Sitala and Chandi. Such devotees who are known as Saktas or worshippers of the Shakti Tattva are always envious of Vaishnavas. Since Srivas Thakur was a well-known and respected Vaishnava in Navadvip, Gopal Chapal wanted to reduce his prestige by bringing him down to the platform of the Saktas. Therefore, outside Shiva's Thakur's door, he placed various paraphernalia for worshipping Bhavani, the wife of Lord Shiva, such as red flower, plantain leaves, a pot of wine and reddish sandal paste. In the morning, when Shiva Thakur saw all this paraphernalia in front of his door, he called for the respectable gentlemen of the neighborhood and showed them that at night he was worshipping Bhavani. Very sorry, these gentlemen called for a sweeper to cleanse the place and purify it by sprinkling water and cow dung there. This incident concerning Gopal Chapal is not mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Yeah. So this was, he was committing offense to Shiva Thakur. And because of that, he contracts leprosy in a few days. Then he goes to the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him that you are an offender. You have offended Shiva Thakur, so you have to go beg forgiveness from him. And only after that, I can forgive you. In fact, initially, he was not willing to forgive Gopal Chapal. But because of his, he was insistent on begging forgiveness from the Lord. So then he told him that you go and beg forgiveness from Shiva Thakur. So, this is how it unfolds. Okay, next.
Okay, 39. Kalarapada upare tuli oda fulla haridra sindura ata rakta chandana kandula. On the upper portion of a plantain leaf, he placed such paraphernalia for worship as oda fulla, turmeric, vermilion, red sandalwood, and rice. 40. Madhya Banda Pashedari Nicha Kare Kela Radha Kale Siva Sataha Tade Kila. He placed a pot of wine beside all this, and in the morning when Srivasa Thakura opened his door, he saw this paraphernalia. 40. Bada Pata Loka Sabha Anila Boya Sabare Kahi Srivasa Hasiya Hasiya. Srivasa Thakura called for all gentlemen of the neighborhood, smilingly address them as follows.
Yeah, so here Shiva Thakur, instead of retaliating and trying to prove that all this thing is a conspiracy against him, he is humbly accepting that this is something that he has done. Okay, next.
Nitya Ratre Kari Ami Bhavani Pujana Amara Mahika Brahmana Sajana. Gentlemen, every night I worship the goddess Bhavani. Since the paraphernalia for the worship is present here, now all you respectful Brahmanas and members of the higher castes can understand my position properly. According to the very system, there are four castes: the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, and below them are the Panjamas, literally the members of the fifth group, who are lower than the Shudras. The higher castes, the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, and even the Vaishyas, were known as the Brahmana Sajana. The Brahmanas especially were known as Sajana, or respectable gentlemen who guided the entire society. If there were disputes in the village, people would approach these respectable Brahmanas to settle them. Now it is very difficult to find such Brahmanas and Sajanas, and thus every village and town is so disrupted that there is no peace and happiness anywhere. To revive a fully cultured civilization, the scientific division of society into Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras must be introduced all over the world. Unless some people are trained as Brahmanas, there cannot be peace in human society.
Yeah, okay. Next.
Tadi se bashishta loka kare ha ha kare. Ethe karma ethe kela kona dura chara. Then all the assembled gentlemen exclaimed, "What is this? What is this? Who has performed such mischievous activities? Who is that sinful man?" Hari ke anya sabha dura kara ila jala gomaya diya se isana lepa ila. They called for a sweeper, Hari, who threw all the items of worship far away and cleansed the place by mopping it with a mixture of water and cow dung. The man in Vedic society who engage in public sanitary activities like picking up stool and sweeping the secret streets are called hadis. Sometimes they are untouchable, especially when engaged in their profession. Yet the hadis also have the right to become devotee. This is established by Srimad Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord declares, Mahim Partha Vyapashritya Ye Api Siu Papa Yonaya Triyo Vaishyasata Shudra Te Api Yanti Param Gatim. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter of in me, though they are be of the lower birth, women, Vaishyas, merchants, and Shudras, can attain the supreme destination. There are many untouchables of the lower caste in India, but according to Vaishnava principles, everyone is welcome to accept the Krishna consciousness movement on the spiritual platform of life and thus to free from trouble. Neither equality nor fraternity is possible to the on the material platform. When Lord Chaitanya declares, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahisuna, he indicates that one must be above the material conception of life. When the thoroughly understand that he is not the material body but a spiritual soul, he is even humbler than a man of the lower caste, for he is spiritually elevated. Such humility in which one thinks himself lower than the grass is called sunicha, and beginning and sorry ending more tolerant than a tree is called sahishnava, forbearance. Being situated in devotional service, not caring for the material conception of life, is called amanitva, indifference to material respect. Yet a devotee thus situated is called manada, for he is prepared to give honor to others without hesitation. Mahatma Gandhi started the Harijan movement of to purify the untouchables, but he was a failure because he thought that one could become a Harijana, a personal associate of the Lord, though some kind of material adjustment. That is not possible unless the fully realizes that he is not the body but is a spiritual soul. There is no question of his becoming a Harijana, those who do not follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his disciples, succession cannot distinguish between matter and spirit. And therefore, all their ideas are but a mixed up hodgepodge of problems. They are virtually lost in the bewildering network of Maya Devi.
Okay, any comment?
After 3 days, leprosy attacked Gopala Chapala and blood oozed from source of all over his body. Sarvanga Vedila Kite Kate Nirantara Ashya Vedana Duke Jwala E Antara. Incessantly covered with germs and insects biting him all over his body, Gopala Chapala felt unbearable pain. His entire body burned in distress. Ganga Gate Vrikshatale Rahita Vasya Eka Dina Bale Kichu Prabhuke Dekhiya. Since leprosy is an infectious disease, Gopala Chapala left the village to sit down on the bank of the Ganges underneath the tree. One day, however, he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passing by and spoke to him as follows. Grama Sambande Amitomara Matula Bagina Mui Kushta Vyadite Hana Chivyakula. My dear nephew, I am your maternal uncle in our village relationship. Please see how greatly this attack of leprosy has afflicted me. Loka Sabha Uddharite Tomara Avatara Muni Bada Dukhi More Karaha Uddhara. As an incarnation of God, you are delivering so many fallen souls. I am also a greatly unhappy fallen soul. Kindly deliver me by your mercy. Purport. It appears that although Gopala Chapala was sinful, talkative and insulting, he nevertheless had the qualification of simplicity. Thus, he believed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had come to deliver all fallen souls, and he appeals for his own deliverance, seeking the mercy of the Lord. He did not know, however, that the deliverance of the fallen does not consist of curing their bodily diseases, although it is also a fact that when a man is delivered from the material clutches, his material bodily diseases are automatically cured. Gopala Chapala simply wanted to be delivered from the bodily sufferings of leprosy, but Sri Chaitanya, although accepting his sincere appeal, wanted to inform him of the real cause of suffering.
Eta suni Mahaprabhu ra haila krudha mona krudha vesha bale tare tarjana vachana. Hearing this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared greatly angry, and in that angry mood he spoke some words chastising him. Are papi bhakta dveshi tore na udharimu koti janma e mate kidaya khao ya mu. oh sinful person, envious of pure devotees, I shall not deliver you. Rather, I shall have you bitten by these germs for millions of years. We should note herein that all our suffering in the material world, especially from disease, are due to our past sinful activities. And of all sinful activities, actions directed against a pure devotee out of sheer envy are considered extremely severe. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted Gopal Chappal to understand the cause of his suffering. Any person who disturbs a pure devotee engaged in broadcasting the holy name of Lord, certainly punished like Gopal Chappal. This is the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As we shall see, one who offends a pure devotee can never satisfy Chaitanya Mahaprabhu unless and until he sincerely regrets his offense and thus rectifies it. So there was one interesting comment by the temple president of Delhi. His name is Mohan Rupa Prabhu. So he was, one time was in class on the glory of Srivast Thakur, and he was mentioning this point that Gopal Chappala offended Srivast Thakur, and then he contracted leprosy within a few days. So then he was making a point that there are many pastimes like this in Gaur Leela where devotees are offended by some, you know, ordinary people, and then they contract leprosy within a few days. So then he was making this comment that, but you know, we don't see this in ISKCON, because here in ISKCON also, or you know, in, like we are also offending other devotees, and but we are not contracting leprosy. So then, why? You know, you were asking this question to the audience that why the devotees there also do not contract leprosy. So then, no one was able to answer. Then he said it very jokingly that if all the devotees start contacting leprosy within a few days, you know, then the entire society, the entire ISKCON devotees will become leprosy society, and then outsiders will never come and join us because they will know that, well, whoever is joining ISKCON, they are all getting leprosy, so they will all run away from ISKCON. So it was a good you know, comment. Although it was a joking comment, you know, it was, but at the same time, it had some truth in it, you know, because that is, you know, it's a reality that, and one more thing, you know, which I have heard from Radhanath Maharaj is that during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, the advancement was quick and the reaction to offense was also very quick. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he bestowed mercy, they immediately got Krishna Prema. And at the same time, the reaction to offense was also very quick. If someone offended someone, then they got the reaction very quickly. But so after generations, after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, both things, you know, reduced with time. So the reaction to the offense also came after a long time, or you can say the intensity of that reaction was less. At the same time, the advancement of Krishna consciousness, or you know, or the mercy that we have received, the effect of that mercy also is going slow. So that is the effect of Kali Yuga basically, and this is a special mercy which we get when we are present with the Lord. Okay, so now, so then Maharaj was asking the question. So then, what do you want? Do you want the reaction to offense quickly, or do you want to, because, you know, see, the problem is that there were offenders during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but these offenders were very less compared to the present day and age, right? In the current scenario, we know that, in fact, what to speak of outsiders, devotees themselves, they are envious of each other. Devotees are the ones who are also struggling with a lot of anarthas, and that is the reason they commit. It's a very natural tendency in us to commit offenses easily. So, so it's a very interesting thing that it's right. You know, it's true that we don't get the reaction like, you know, contracting leprosy or some kind of disease, because then, see, the main purpose is to perform bhakti, to be happy in Krishna consciousness, but if this is the thing that we attain, you know, the goal is we actually get frustrated from the material world to find happiness in the spiritual in the spiritual realm. But after coming to the spiritual circle, if we don't find the happiness, in fact, we are miserable, then who is going to come? So in that sense, well, there is some concession given, you know, by the Acharya because of his mercy. you know, we are kind of protected, and we don't get offenses for such, you know, like small things, or even if you are getting offenses, but still the Lord is kind, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is kind enough to give us that kind of, you know, like we can say that if you want to test something, then you get a proper report about your status. So similarly, after coming to Krishna consciousness, practicing bhakti for years, we are also given some kind of feedback, some kind of feedback form that, you know, or so that feedback form comes in the form of repentance, comes in the form of devotees telling you, reminding you not to commit offenses, or introspection is also very necessary. That introspection is also, because what happens is, you know, if you get to experience the same kind of reaction that you have committed with someone else, then you can easily digest and understand that actually what you did was wrong. So these kind of things will happen quite frequently to give us, you know, opportunities and chance to rectify ourselves. Right? So any question on this?
See, last week I asked a question of Prabhuji, actually about Vaishnava Prad.
Yeah. So Mataji was asking questions about Vaishnava Aparad and Jeev Aparad. We talk about Vaishnava Aparad, you know, we get reaction for committing offenses to the devotees of the Lord, but then what about if we commit offenses to the Jeevas? See, first of all, we have to, the main point is that we have to offend someone in the material world, that is for sure. And if you want to offend someone, then it should be the non-devotees. You have to direct your offenses towards the non-devotees. You cannot direct it towards the devotee. So now what is the meaning of this? So you have to, when there is a conflict between offending devotee and non-devotee, you have to offend non-devotees. Because you cannot please everyone, you cannot satisfy everyone. So you have to, you will naturally displease someone. So that's one thing. You know, see, there are different types of offenses. Now, what we are discussing right now is that, you know, you have a choice. Now, for example, you have a request from relatives that, you know, you should participate in certain social gathering or certain events. And at the same time, you have an opportunity to hear the class or to render some service or, you know, XYZ, whatever it is. So when, this happened, in fact, you know, this happened today itself, like for, at least for me, you know, because last 4-5 days, you know, my cousin has come from US. So we have been to Mahabaleshwar, you know, and for a vacation. And because, you know, he has come from US and he wanted to spend time with the family. So we all had gone together. So I was obviously, you know, really like not really happy, you know, being associated with so many like relatives for a long time, you know, at least for 4-5 days. And I could not conduct the class also. So today also, you know, they had a social gathering and they had called me. You know, like Sunday, actually, I had no plans. We had no plans, but it all automatically happened. And then they had insisted a lot, so I had to go. And so today also, you know, they wanted me to come, but somehow I just found out the reason and then I stayed back because I did not want to miss the class. So now, so I don't bother, you know, whether the relatives... Now, see, the thing is that, first of all, with relatives, the more you satisfy them, the more their hankering, you know, will increase. The greed will increase, you know. So they will never be satisfied, actually. And relatives means you can say, like, you know, everyone has a different nature. So you cannot say about everyone. But generally, the tendency of people is, the more you associate with them, the more they want your association. And so then, you know, you have to decide whether you have, you know, now everyone has gone there, but I'm alone here. I am the only person who has not gone there. So, but I felt that, well, I don't want to, whatever they think, let them think, because I already spent, yesterday I spent the entire day with them. And because my cousin has come from US, so we had a couple of occasions, like my cousin's wedding was there on 9th of December. So, like couple of occasions, we were all together for a long time and for a couple of days. So then I thought that, I don't have to go now today. It's not necessary. So obviously they will also understand. But so you have to, we have to offend, or we don't want to offend them in the sense that, they will, it's not really, we don't intend to offend them, but whether they get offended or not, that's, their call. So we cannot think so much about it. Okay. Now, this is one kind of offense, which is a good offense, you can say. We don't care about it, how much they are offended by this. So, because obviously we want to hanker, we want to, as Raghunath Maharaj said in his lectures many times, that because for a Grihastha, they have many responsibilities, they have many social things to take care of. But he always says that we have to do the needful. And then we, so it's not necessary that you have to participate in each and every ceremony, each and every function. And even if you are insisted or you are forced to participate, obviously we feel miserable from inside. We feel bored.
Mm.
Okay. We don't like really enjoy that. A serious and sincere devotee will never feel happiness outside. And they always feel happiness, when they get the opportunity to associate with other devotees. That is the best thing. In CC also, Ramananda Rai was asking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Ramananda Rai, that what is the greatest happiness for a devotee? And Ramananda Rai replied that the greatest happiness is to associate with another devotee. That is the greatest happiness. So our happiness lies there. And so we have to find all ways and means to escape from that. Okay. Now, the way we speak, the way we handle things, that's another thing. That's another category. Obviously, we try our best to be humble to them, to be respectful to them. We should not, and that does not mean that others will take advantage of our humility or, so we have to, like it is mentioned, Prabhupada says that we have to be like a lion in the material world and like a mouse in the spiritual society. So mouse means, that we are the servant of servant of servant. We are not the masters, we are the servants of our Vaishnavas. But in the material world, we have to be like lion. Lion means we should know how, when to show our, show the nature of lion, in the sense that we have to be, then when the time comes, we have to be very strong. We have to be bold. And we have to take control of things. So the more you are a leader in the material world, the more you can influence them. And the more you get influenced by them, that is worse. Because that will drag you down. So it will actually influence our Krishna consciousness. So so it's a challenge. Now one more thing is there. It's not necessary always that whenever we are with relatives, that association always drags us down. It can also give us some experience. It can also teach us certain things. The main thing is that, in spite of being in their association, we have to continue our chanting sadhana and all that. That is the main thing. We don't have to stop that. So now, this is my experience also. Whenever I get their association, they can also teach us so many things. Like, we are not like perfect devotees. There are certain good qualities in certain of our relatives that we can actually appreciate, and we can try to implement that. We can understand, learn from them. So, certain things, we can always learn from them. Certain experiences also teach us something. So, so we have to be respectful to all of them as far as possible. Unless and until, someone is really behind us and trying to, take advantage of our respectful and humble nature, then actually we can try to control the situation. We should try to control the situation. So it is mentioned in the Shastra that if you offend devotees, then our devotional life is hampered, and we have to beg forgiveness from the devotees. We have to serve them. And if you offend the jivas or who are non-devotees, then the reaction or retribution is that we should repent about it, and humbly we can beg forgiveness in the mind. We can repent, and I know if possible we can also go and tell the person that, you know, this is something that we did wrong, please forgive us for that. And internally with repentance we can chant the take shelter of the holy name. Okay, so this is the difference between offending Vaishnavas and offending Jivas. And Shastra very clearly mentions that a Vaishnava will never offend anyone. That's the nature of a Vaishnava. So a Vaishnava never tries to offend anyone. He is always respectful to everyone. And even in spite of certain wrong things happening, a Vaishnava will never give up their Vaishnava compassion or nature. Okay. So, on one hand, we say that we have to be like lion in the material world. Others should not take advantage of us. But then certain events, incidents will happen. Then we have to be careful about it. We should not overreact too much. Otherwise, what will happen? It will, put us in a difficult situation. So, what we can learn from outside world is that generally, life in cities is very passionate, and people are anyways really stressed. They are in anxiety because they are working, they are traveling in trains, and they don't have so much comfort facilities. They are struggling in the material world. So most of the time they are frustrated. Most of the time they are angry. This is what my experience is in Mumbai, staying in Mumbai in so many years. And so it is very difficult actually sometimes to be very humble or to be very, to be in the mode of goodness all the time in Mumbai, because Mumbai influence nature is very passionate. And obviously, I'm also a very passionate person right from the beginning. So, and I'm pretty sure that, many devotees, they also are like that. But, the idea is that we try to, in certain situations, I just try to remember that I am trying to become a devotee, I'm practicing KC. So, that should show up on people. They should at least, they will appreciate, if I am calm, even if people are angry, they shout, but if we handle it very nicely or if we handle it very calmly, then people will actually recognize that, they'll see that and they'll appreciate that. And one thing I've always noticed that when we are respectful to people, when we say certain things in a nice way, in a nice tone, then the reaction also we get is in the same way. So in one sense, we have the ability to control the other person's speech. Being a devotee or being a person, you can also actually control other person's speech. If you are, it's natural when you are angry to someone, when you aggressively address someone, then they will also revert in the same way. But if you tell in a nice, gentle way, then they will also reply in the same way. So everyone wants respect in the material world. Everyone wants, if you try to boss over them, then, they will get really upset. They will get very angry. So it's difficult, to maintain all these standards. Certain times, in certain situations, it's really very difficult to balance these things. We all get angry, about situations, about people, but then after some time we can use the knowledge and then we can try to come to the mode of goodness. So aparad is something, that is, all these things, they are contextual and they are also circumstantial. But in general, you know, if we are respectful to people, if we care about them, if we are compassionate to them, then and this is something that Krishna also appreciates a lot. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord also says that one who is friendly to everyone, who is kind, compassionate to everyone, who sees with equal vision, so these devotees are very dear to him. Yeah, so I think, you know, when we go outside with the mentality that, well, yeah, you know, people are like that and, you know, they react in a certain way because they are not aware of spiritual life, spiritual principles. And then we try to see them with the eyes of compassion, then I think we can at least very peacefully handle the situation. Otherwise, you know, there is a lot of chance of getting passionate. Okay. So, yeah, it's very difficult. Like, you know, especially when you don't commit any mistake and if the other person, you know, he is committing mistake, but at the same time, then he's yelling. He's not admitting his mistake. You know, then obviously it's difficult to.
Oh, he's disconnected.
Hare Krishna
Prabhu.
Yeah, okay. I think we have to develop compassion. There is no other way. It's otherwise it will be very difficult because most of the devotees are very passionate. And even if they are not passionate, but you know, if someone will tell you certain things which is not right, then we cannot tolerate that. Here in this particular example, we see that Srivas Thakur was taking the blame on himself, even though he did not commit any mistake. Yudhishthira Maharaj also, he's taking the blame on himself when he's not responsible for the Mahabharata war. So these are all exalted qualities of devotees, they are all Mahabhagavats. We don't imitate them. But then over a period of time, we try to learn, actually. So that is the way we know we can do. So this is how we actually deal with the jivas. So anything more on that, Madhavi? Vinita Madhavi? Are you there? Hare Krishna, Vinita Mataji.
Mataji got disconnected but showing as joined. Maybe.
No, Mataji. No, I am connected. Hello?
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
I am connected. Okay. Mataji, or anything more on that?
Yes, Prabhuji, but because we do not, means just right now you gave your example that your relatives called you to enjoy with them. So
yeah.
Sometimes they feel that because they don't come close to us. Because they think that Krishna consciousness, they have to leave everything and they should not enjoy these things.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah, and one more question that also, if what our relatives are also Vaishnavas, just like our family members, and sometimes
that is a very good question actually. In fact, that requires special emphasis. So I will talk about it. See, first and foremost about the relatives. One thing is that you have to identify which relatives you can associate with. Okay, now if there are relatives who are just making fun of your Krishna consciousness, they are not appreciative, they are making comments, they are making fun, then you stay away from them. Don't associate with them at all. Okay. So one of the most practical way to filter out or to take or to implement our, Krishna consciousness is that we keep distance from them. We stay away from them. At least from these kind of people. Now, but those who appreciate our Krishna consciousness and those who are quite okay with it, they are open for it, then definitely, then there is no problem. Also, we have to identify whether whose association will influence us or will drag us. So that association also we should keep away from. So certain things, we can do it very practically. Now, the greatest challenge is not from outsiders who are non-devotees when we associate with them, because we know their consciousness and we can actually very easily adjust with them because we know how they are and how they will react. Okay, and what is their main goal? What is the main purpose? So that does not bother us at all. But the real challenge, the main challenge, is to associate with devotees who are not really wanting to advance in spiritual life. That is the greatest challenge. Obviously, whom are we going to associate with? At least as a devotee, I can select my association. But when that association is family association, then it is actually very difficult. Because we cannot give it up also, we cannot keep distance also, and at the same time we have to also take association. Okay, and that association can also turn out to be discouraging. It can turn out to be a negative association. So not everyone in the family probably would like to advance in spiritual life, and so that is the greatest challenge now, because if we don't have that support from our family members, because some would like to advance more, some would like to advance gradually, so at least those who want to advance gradually, they should have the appreciation and they should support the other person who wants to advance in spiritual life. But if that is not there, or if there is, we know that everyone as a devotee, everyone knows that Krishna is the center. But that is only namesake. Generally, that is done namesake. At the end, everyone has their own agenda, everyone has their own preferences, criteria. So to say that Krishna, especially in married life, husband and wife. Now, devotees, we get married thinking that, we'll advance together in spiritual life, and when we apply for the marriage bureau and all that, there is so much of this thing that the purpose is to advance in Krishna consciousness. But after marriage, that entire purpose is actually kept behind, and our priorities are kept in the forefront. So everyone forgets now. What is the main purpose of getting married to a devotee? Now, see what happens. Everyone wants to go to an astrologer and then show their charts, how the compatibility is and why are you bothered about that? You take responsibility. if you both decide that no matter what, we have to stick to our sadhana, we should hear together, we should chant together, we should discuss together, if these things are there in the house, and we should all obviously glorify the Lord together, like in the form of Sankirtan. And then we should have house programs also, at least once in a month, twice in a month. So that kind of regularity, if it is there, then we can actually say that Krishna is in the center of the house. Otherwise, what is the meaning? If we don't have any programs, if we don't do, you know, if we don't read regularly, hear regularly, share things, you know, share about devotional life. Now, most of the things that devotees will share is about materialistic things. What is the point, you know? Okay, I got a nice job, you know, I'm going to get this much salary, and then this is my plan, you know, this is my... Then mostly they'll discuss about children, family life and all that. I mean, it is essential, no doubt that, you know, like, we have to take care of body, mind and soul together. But the soul is left behind. You know, there is no Krishna Katha in the center. Like, you know, there is no exchange of, like, what we hear, you know, what are our plans, how we want to reach the goal. That all is, you know, left behind. So now in this kind of situation, it's really difficult. So that is the reason Kunti Maharani prays, as an ideal Vaishnavi, she prays that let my material attachments cut off. You know, let my bondage all cut off. And so that, you know, let calamities also fall again and again, so that I can remember you again and again. Right? So this is a prayer by Kunti Maharani. Now again, we don't imitate her because we are not in that level. So we won't say that let calamities come, you know, I am willing to face all that. So if one calamity will come, then our Krishna consciousness will go down. Okay. So we don't pray like that, but yeah, we do aspire, we do pray that, you know, the devotees in our family, it's a really rare opportunity, it's a very fortunate opportunity that devotees get devotee husband, wife, children as their, you know, family members. But then if they don't use that opportunity and facility, then it does not make sense, actually. So in that particular, you know, situation, I think it is best to set out the priorities individually. Obviously, we don't go away, we don't run away from responsibility. Whatever duty we have to do that. We don't run away from that. But I think we have to, as an individual devotee, I think they should set their own priorities. They should discuss among themselves that this is what, you know, okay, if you are not willing to, you know, if you want to go gradually ahead in spiritual life after a long time, that is okay, you know, that is your choice. But, you know, I think I want to seriously go ahead. At least it might be gradual, but it should be, I have a goal. It's not that, well, you know, okay, we say gradually and then wait for another lifetime. But at least let's set up some goal. You know, let's set a goal for 5 years, that what we want to do after 5 years, and then after 10 years, what we want to do. So if you want to advance in spiritual life, that is the practical way of doing things. Okay. So with time, our commitment to Krishna consciousness should increase as a grihastha. That is the most practical approach. So I think, you know, if the devotees, they keep taking guidance of senior devotees who are advanced, who are committed to the Lord. The grihastha devotees, they keep taking proper guidance at the right time. And if they have some target and goal in their mind, they should try to achieve that target in that particular time frame. Otherwise, it's difficult in grihastha ashram to advance. Because so many obligations, so many responsibilities, so many attachments, so many materialistic things going on. So that opportunity is less, actually, compared to sannyas and brahmachari ashram. But there are devotees in grihastha also who are great, wonderful examples. And so we have to take their guidance. So Prabhupada wanted that, you know, all the devotees should ultimately take vanaprastha after 50 years. So that was the goal or target set by him. So that devotees, even if they don't take vanaprastha, that's a different thing. But at least if they have certain target that by the age of 50, I mean, you know, like if a husband and wife, they are both rendering a lot of service together, then there is no need for taking vanaprastha also probably. They can continue their, you know, ashram and they can still render a lot of service. It all depends on the service. It all depends on the commitment to the Lord. If we have a particular time frame target, then everything is possible. So I think it is extremely essential for all the devotees in the family to draw out particular time frame and then try to achieve that. So then what will happen? You know, everyone will know their priorities. Everyone will know what they would like to do. And you know, in many families, like, you know, sometimes the husband would go alone, sometimes the wife would go alone. You know, like it might be, you know, sometimes there may be some practical reasons, you know, husband or wife cannot go together. So then one may go alone. So it is quite okay, you know, because the idea is that we want to advance in spiritual life. And if something is favorable for that, then we do it. So it is not that every time we have to go together. You know, if we depend on that thing, then we'll miss out the main thing, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to adjust, we have to prioritize things, and we have to discuss, you know, discuss our targets. So I think then it will be quite practical to go ahead. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, if other devotees would like to share on this, they can say. Because one cannot remain entangled throughout one's life, throughout the whole life, in serving family, society and friends and everyone. Ultimately, we have to serve Krishna. Rest of other things will be taken care of. If you have given your 20, 25 years, 30 years of your life for family, for your relatives, then what is the use of spending another 10, 15 years for them? You have to give it up and you have to, you know, dedicate yourself to the service of Krishna. So, this is quite practical. Like, we have seen this, you know, there are practical examples of devotees like that. You know, after Grihastas, they have, after doing their duties, they have very successfully increased their commitment for the Lord. So, any devotees, they have any comment about this?
Okay, so suppose both family members are Vaishnavas. So sometimes they argue, not only wife and husband, any family, two family members, and sometimes they speak some harsh words. So if this will come
in Vaishnavas, the thing is that is more difficult to control. You in your family, you become very familiar with each other, so then you take advantage of that, and then, I mean, Krishna does not take it extremely, you know, seriously, or he does not take it seriously, because he knows that, you know, in every family there is this Mahabharata and Ramayana going on. And obviously, we are not Vaishnavas for sure as of now. We are trying to become Vaishnavas. So if someone is a Vaishnava, then they will always be respectful. And see, majority of the fights or majority of the arguments that happens in the family is mainly because different opinions, and a person would like to do what he or she desires, but the other person becomes an obstacle to the desire. So that's the main thing, you know, there's where the, you know, entire Ramayana and Mahabharata will come. So then, yeah, okay, so that is part of the life, but then we have to do it as respectfully as possible. That should be the goal. We cannot fight like cats and dogs with our family members or with our devotees, you know, like, so that respect has to be there. Even like, you know, in all our classes, that, you know, all the Vaishnavas, they say that the wife is to be seen as the daughter of Krishna, and the husband has to be seen as the son of Krishna, And because, so we are actually trying to serve devotees, we are trying to serve each other. So that has to be the goal. But then, you know, because of the familiarity, the respect is gone. And when the respect is gone, then we start fighting like cats and dogs. So yeah, if that is happening, then definitely we have to, at least, you know, we should discuss and we should try to find out a way where we can respectfully deal with each other. That should be the goal. Yeah, and I think, you know, if there is something, certain things going on, unless and until it is really extremely on the extreme side, I don't think it is something which is, the Lord will take very seriously. But at the same time, we also know that that's not an ideal Vaishnava behavior. So, I mean, you know, ultimately we have to come up with that. We have to overcome that thing. Because you might, see, you might be familiar with each other, but if you get angry, if you fight, if you, you know, argue, don't do it respectfully, then obviously you are far from attaining pure devotional service or being a pure devotee of the Lord. So, you know, so this is the real test. Like, you know, this is how we actually see ourselves, that, okay, how much transformation has been there. If we are able to address the situation nicely, if we handle it properly amongst our family members, then that is a test of our Krishna consciousness also at the same time. So,
And one more thing, Prabhuji, right now so many things are going in temples, although they are senior devotees. But when someone speak about it in flow, we also put some comments from our side also. Knowingly or unknowingly.
Yeah, okay. So one more point I wanted to share about among, you know, in the family members thing is that,
okay,
I understand I have a nature, and I understand that my wife, my relatives, they have a particular nature. We all understand that, okay? And we know that how the person is going to react, you know, because it becomes a habit. It's, you know, the nature becomes a habit. So then, okay, we know that we have certain shortcomings. We have certain anarthas. I have certain lackings. I have certain anarthas. They have certain lackings and anarthas. So let us come together. Let us discuss that, well, I have anartha, you have anartha, and try to follow the Vaishnava etiquette. By following Vaishnava etiquette, we also come to a proper standard of dealings with each other by practicing that. So we will, I'm sure that, you know, even after discussing all these things, we'll forget about it, and then again we'll start our own nature, will come out, you know, again the Ramayana Mahabharata will go on. but we should keep reminding ourselves of the Vaishnava etiquettes also, so that, you know, we want, because we want that, you know, like ultimately, if you are sincere, then we want to have a respectful dealing. We don't want to create any kind of scene, you know. So that respectful behavior should be there, and that is something each and every devotee should desire, because that is a higher purpose. Although my purpose is to please my senses, and my relative's purpose is to please their senses. But then, okay, that is okay. That's the reason we are in the material world. But now, we all have a common purpose. We have a higher purpose. So let us try to sacrifice certain lower purpose for that. So I think, you know, we have to discuss properly, respectfully. Then I think things can work out. So that is necessary. And about the second thing, what did you mention?
That right now, so many senior devotees are in temple. So many things are going on.
Okay, so we comment. See,
yeah,
it is very,
we also comment. Yes.
We also comment. Okay. So now it is very simple. This thing is very simple to understand. Like, if someone is seeking your advice, then you can comment. If you know for sure that is the reality. If you don't know certain things, then why you want to comment unnecessarily? So one should not comment about others' situation or circumstances unless one is really sure.
Yeah, not exactly. Situation means something happened and some devotee committed some thing, and they are speaking. we all together are speaking, and sometimes we also take part on that also, Prabhuji. I mean, to
see, we if the devotee has committed something which is breaking of the regulative principle or outside of the Vaishnava etiquettes, then obviously it's natural that everyone will speak about it. But we speak about it or we share about it for which things which are related to our service and which will affect others. So for others, if someone will come for advice, then obviously we have to comment about it. So but the purpose should be clear. So we don't do it to blaspheme a devotee. Now, according to the Shastra, one should never try to see any spots on the devotee.
And others, yes. Yeah.
And one should never discuss it openly. Everyone has their anarthas, they will all, they are all on the right track. Mm-hmm. And, as Krishna says in the Gita, that even if the devotee commits the most abominable action, they are rightly situated. So that principle we should always have in mind. Even if you comment, certain things might have happened externally, we might comment about it, but we should understand this thing very thoroughly, that deep within our heart, that we should never judge a devotee on the external situation, and we should always have the conviction that anyone who is in the path of Krishna consciousness, they will get purified. It might take long time or short time or whatever, the process will act, it will act for sure. So we don't unnecessarily think about it. See, if it is useful for you to comment, if it is useful for you to do it as a service, then it's a different thing. If someone is coming to you, seeking your advice, what should we do about this? Or if a devotee is repeatedly behaving in an unusual way, erratic way, then you can tell, this devotee, I have not even heard from others, but I have also personally experienced that this devotee behaves like this, so keep some distance from him. So then it is okay. But you should not just think about his behavior all the time. That why is he behaving? It is like we just think that, okay, it's his karma. It is unfortunately it's his karma, but we pray that he will come out of that situation. And so so certain things like that. We don't have to focus on the negative aspects of a devotee.
Okay.
Right. So we don't. I mean, there is no point on commenting about others or judging others. See, if a devotee has some kind of anartha, then that the Lord is going to take care of. We are no one to actually interfere in that. If the devotee's anartha is affecting or influencing your bhakti, then you have the right to keep distance. And if someone comes and asks you for opinion, then you can also share with them. But it's not necessary that the devotee might not gel with others. So, the best way is to, if you think it is disturbing your bhakti, then you keep distance. That's it. But you don't have to unnecessarily go on, sharing with others about, the devotee's this thing. If it is useful, if it is for discrimination purpose, if it is for service purpose, then we can definitely do that. Otherwise, that's not necessary for that.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Yeah. Okay, so other devotees, any comment or question?
No, Prabhuji.
Yeah, okay. So let us stop here. It's 11:45. And next week we'll continue next Monday.
Yeah,
okay, all right. Thank you, devotees, for joining. Hare Krishna, Venva Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.